give your attention to the Word of God. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And Father, bless the reading of your word to our understanding as well as its exposition. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Six or seven years ago, when we first started streaming sermons on Facebook, I got a notice. You're getting these fearful notices from time to time from Facebook, and actually, I think it was via our church website, and this email said that our site, where we were posting sermons, had been linked to a prominent atheist website, and we would be receiving an avalanche of atheist scrutiny if we did not desist. It was a pretty funny email. I actually was contacted by one person. The avalanche was one person, and they wanted to talk to me about the contradictions that are in the Bible regarding morality. And I know where it was going. It was again in the wake of our activism in opposing an ordinance in the city of Fayetteville about special rights for people of a certain sexual predilection. And my reply was simply to that person, and tried to be gracious as I could, that I just had one presupposition about everything, and that is that the Bible is what it claims to be, that morality was not something that I defined, but something defined by the Word of God, and that the Bible is what it claims to be, the Word of God. And this was that text, the key text that I had in mind when I spoke to that person. And that's our answer. Charles Spurgeon was asked by one of his students, how do you defend the Bible? And he famously replied, "I would rather defend a lion than try to defend the Bible." You don't defend a lion, you let the lion loose. The Bible is described elsewhere as a two-edged sword that is able to penetrate to the deepest recesses of the hearts and minds of humanity. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Peter is defending himself and his ministry against those who were saying that Christianity was just a bunch of made-up stories, just a bunch of cleverly devised myths and fables, which is one of the most common of the tropes of the atheistic world about Christianity. Again, Peter is writing and speaking through the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as a representative of the apostles, of all the apostles who were discipled in person by Jesus, who were ministered, not only ministered to by Jesus, but walked with him and learned from him and accompanied him, and they themselves performed attesting miracles along with the Lord Jesus. And so his answer to those who would say, you're just following cleverly devised myths, says, no, we're not. We're eyewitnesses. We are eyewitnesses, representatives. And what he saw was in direct contrast to the myths, the cleverly devised fables. There were those who were making up stories, who would make inventions. And this ancient literature is available. You can read it. The so-called, there's all kinds of like false gospels and false teaching, the Gnostic gospels. And you read them, and there are some, they're obviously nonsense. And Peter, in defense of the gospel toward those who were holding out these cleverly devised stories and made up myths, this eyewitness account that he, with the other apostles, heard, we were made known to you, that were made known to you, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses to his majesty. And he goes on and talks about that honor and glory that came from God the Father and the voice that was born him. And then he tells when it happened, when it occurred. And he's thinking of not just the whole ministry of Jesus. He's thinking of a specific event in the Gospels. And we know that event as the Transfiguration. And I thought it would be helpful for us to turn to the Gospels account. It's in Matthew 17, it's in Mark chapter 9, it's in Luke chapter 9. We'll just go to the one in Matthew 17. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by himself. And this is the mountain that Peter is talking about. Now, there's a great discussion about which mountain this actually is. If you go to Israel, there are at least three that I know of that claim to be this mountain. I think that it is Mount Hermon up in the north. Because it is the only truly high mountain. It's nearly 10,000 feet, and it is truly a high mountain. So when it says high mountain, I think it's distinct from the others. But again, there's a lot of churches built on other mountains that claim to be it, and it's only the only thing that I know of that's at the top of Mount Hermon is a ski resort. So that's neither here nor there, but I've never been up there that far. And he was transfigured there before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Now, Peter doesn't record the next words of Jesus, but he did listen to him. He listened to him, and the Holy Spirit prompted Peter to write down this very incident in the life of the ministry of Jesus, to make this very, very important point. about what the apostles heard and about what it meant for the people of God and for the word of God. So what did they hear? What did Peter, James, and John hear on the mountain? It was the voice of God affirming the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is a declaration of his authority. The authority of the Son of God is revealed. Affirmation of who he is by the very voice of God. We live in a very eclectic Christian world, don't we, in Northwest Arkansas. I'm reminded of it when you go up to Missouri and I saw Shane and Brenda in service this morning. I didn't get to speak to them, but I remember their wedding up in, was it Carthage? And I remember driving by there's this place where they have these figurines. What was it? Precious Moments. Has anybody ever been into that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. Don't go. I just want to encourage you not to go. But this weird, and because it says that somebody gave them a vision to do this thing. And I thought, oh no, I don't know who gave you this vision, but you shouldn't have done it because it's awful. And that's what we live in. We live in this culture where we have people telling them that God told me this and God told me that, and sometimes it's bizarre what God would tell somebody. That's not what the Bible is. That's not how God speaks. God speaks definitively and plainly to us through his words, and every false prophet who ever walked the face of the earth in order to produce some kind of authority, including the heretics that Peter is warning the church about, start with some revelation they claim comes from God and therefore demand authority. Again, I urge you to steer clear, to stay away. Anyone who claims to have a word of knowledge or word of wisdom for you, that's usually how it starts. I have a word for you. I remember hearing in my young Christian life in another family of churches when I was a very young believer, hearing that constantly, I have a word for you. And I said, well, what is it? What chapter and verse in the Bible is it? And that's not what they meant. It was only later that I found out they meant that they had some direct revelation from God that they wanted to impart to me. And sometimes it was in the form of information that was clearly contrary to the Bible. I was no great Bible scholar then, and not as far along as I want to be now, but I knew enough to know that if it didn't come from these scriptures, then it should not be something that I would give any credence whatsoever. Peter's claim of authority is he was with Jesus on the high mountain when God appeared, God the Father appeared to him to affirm his ministry along with Elijah, the most representative of all the prophets of the Old Testament, and Moses, the representative of the law. Again, that is the source of authority, the inscripturated word of God. Peter here, writing before the canon of the New Testament is confirmed, perhaps knowing that he is writing, it seems like very clear from these verses that he knew he was writing scripture, the inscripturated word of God. He makes it clear that the message that he brings is based upon the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God of the Old Testament. What happened on the Mount of Transfiguration was that the whole life of Jesus, the eternal, begotten, only begotten Son of God in Scripture, was demonstrated through the prophetic writings by God himself through his prophets, Moses and Elijah. It's very clear what the scripture is based on. The darkness is invaded by the light of Christ and his appearance and his claim, his certain claim that he is the fulfillment of all the scriptures. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word, Psalm 119, verse 130, your word imparts understanding. In false teaching, in false religion, the focus is on charming people and giving them an allurement. And the allurement of the teacher himself, or in many cases herself, which is a sign to stay away. Here, in every place where the Bible is held forth as the Word of God, here in the scripture tonight that we've read, and here, hopefully, every time a Sunday school class is taught or a sermon is delivered, the focus is on the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Whenever the focus is on some new special insight only open to a few and only given to some special understanding, then that should be a red flag. And that's what Peter is dealing with. The heretics who make up stories in order to put people into bondage, into religious bondage. The problem of any religion apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ is simply that. It's religion that doesn't do what religion is supposed to do. The word religion is not a bad word. We have it in our confession. We have it in some of our Book of Church Order. But I almost hesitate to use it. It's from the Latin, religare. It means to bind back, in the ultimate sense, to bind back to God. How important it is to be bound back to God. Not to be bound to man's religion. Jesus is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. We live in a dark world. That's why it's more important than ever to be in a place where you hear the word of God read and you hear the word of God applied and you, by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, seek to live it out day by day. This is what the prophets said. We have the prophetic word more fully confirmed to you who would do well to pay attention to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. This is what the prophets say in the scriptures. Verse 20, knowing this, first of all, this is a matter of the first importance. This is like, put this at the top of your list of important things to know, that no prophecy of scripture comes from anyone's private interpretation. This puts to rest this notion that you can just imagine some word of knowledge or word of wisdom for someone apart from the Bible. The Holy Spirit, through his prophets, moved them to write down the very word of God. This is Peter's message. The scriptures speak of Christ and his mission to save a sinful world. And it is world, and it is not a matter of private interpretation. It's not a matter of private opinion. Joseph Smith doesn't have the right to go out into the wilderness and find some mystery tablets that only he can interpret with special glasses to be the word of God, and then him write them down and they miraculously be taken back up into heaven. That is literally damned nonsense. And yet 5 million people plus in the world today hold to that. We need to be ready to give an account of what the Bible says in the face of such things. And whether it is Mormonism or whether it is the religion cloaked, we've seen so much religion lately from the installation of the new pope and all the things that are tied up and wrapped up in that are not based in scripture, that are based in tradition, which is another way of saying cleverly devised myths. Same with Mohammedism. Same exact thing, where the prophet Muhammad supposedly had a revelation. He couldn't even read or write, and so he had a revelation that somehow got written down in a book. Again, myths, cleverly devised myths that are not the word of God. Peter is emphatic. No scripture is like that. No prophecy of scripture is like that. It doesn't come from someone's own vain imagination. It was never produced by the will of man, a will of one man. It is produced solely by God moving men by the Holy Spirit to write down his very words. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the prophecy in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. You need to know this. The Holy Spirit is in you because Christ is in you by faith through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you directly. Whenever you open the Bible, when you pray, you should have a Bible open before you to hear God's answer to your prayers. I strongly encourage you to when you pray, open your Bible. Because this is how he answers prayers, through his word. And he certainly answers it through providential circumstances and through moving people to discern a call, for example, to ministry. We talk about the inward call. Nobody can judge an inward call of anyone. They can't do it. We can hear and it sounds credible, just like a confession of faith. But ultimately, what is it informed by? And it should be the Holy Spirit speaking through the scriptures in every instance, affirming those things are true. We have the most wonderful gift that God ever gave us in his inscripturated word of God. This is such a miraculous book. It's under constant assault. It's under constant attack. The young people's faith is being besieged. And we simply need to tell them in every instance that it is true and that everything else in this world is a lie, that it's not based in the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would speak to us tonight through your Word. We thank you for Peter and the apostles who were on the mount, the high mountain with Jesus, who heard that voice of affirmation, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Thank you that he is a bright and shining light in the midst of a dark world, and we need to look to him and him alone for our salvation and nothing else. And we thank you for your scriptures. Forgive us for the times we've neglected it, for the times that we have mishandled it and misused it and not followed it faithfully. We pray that you would give us repentance from that and to draw us ever closer to you through this ordinary means of putting the grace in us. That's not really ordinary. It's truly extraordinary and magnificent how you use the Holy Spirit to burn into our hearts and minds the glorious truth of the scripture, which is the gospel of Jesus. Because that's what all the scriptures speak of. That's what Jesus was telling, Jesus told Peter on the mountain and in this scripture tonight, that he is the center of it all. He is the Word of God. We are so grateful that the Word became flesh and walked among us, and he took upon himself the likeness of human frailty and became a real man, but perfect in every way, to die for us. And so, Father, help us to be strengthened in our faith from this truth once more tonight through your Word. And we pray for that work to be completed in us to the day of Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.